I can use that. I don't know. There are things there. Okay. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us call this meeting to order, please. This is the November meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. I think you're in the wrong place, and I apologize for the cramped conditions, but we'll just get on with it. All the commissioners are present, so we have a quorum. I want to also alert you that there's a quorum of the village council here, whatever that means to you. So don't talk bad about the council today because they're listening to you in the room. I guess that's why we tell you that. We have an agenda in front of us, and I'll accept the motion to approve the agenda. Thank you, Neil. Thanks, Chris. Any discussion on the agenda? That being the case, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the agenda as written signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have minutes of the October 7th, 2019 regular P&amp;Z Commission meeting. I'll accept the motion to approve the minutes. Thanks, Susan. Neil? Any discussion on the minutes? Being the case, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the October 7th, 2019 regular P&amp;Z meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? First item on the agenda under new business is we're going to have a public hearing eventually after we get things described about what we're looking at. This will be a public hearing, consideration to approve a preliminary plat application from the Resort at Tao Ski Valley LLC to subdivide approximately 74 acres of land located along Kachina Road within the Kachina Village subdivision. This will be the purpose of developing two commercial hotels with up to 96 rooms, recreational amenities, retail space, and 63 residential villas. Patrick.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Village of Tuskegee Valley Planning and Zoning Commission, the general public. We have a fairly significant application before us for both a preliminary plat and a request for a recommendation of a zone change for the resort at Telski Valley LLC. Mr. Chairman, before I go into an analysis or a description critique of the project, I would ask that the applicant present their overall vision and project to the community and to this body.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, members of the public. My name is Brian Rook. I am the Executive Vice President of Development with Shopoff Realty Investments. I appreciate everyone taking the time to come out and listen and learn more about our proposal here today. And we can get this queued up here. I'll walk you through our project. Bear with me. There we go. So joining me today is Michael Gregg with Shopoff. Michael, and he is managing this project. Mark Rogers is a land planner with TRG Land. I have Stephen Scott and Nash and Vaughn Scott. They are with Nama Resorts, founded part of Adrian Zecca's development team, founder of Amman Resorts, and they will be the operator for the resort. We have also our partners, Charles Fox and Nick Sine, in the room with us today. And last but not least, Don Scheiber. Don's hiding there in the corner. Don has been a valuable resource. He knows the village well. He knows the planning here, serving as a planning director for many years. But beyond that, he knows the roadways, the infrastructure in the Kachina area better than anyone. So our involvement in this project began about 3 years ago, although as I'll get into here, the project itself has a long history, and the master planning in the Kachina area for this resort project began back in the 70s. 3 years ago, Charles and Bill Shopoff, the owner of our company, who are friends and investment partners, talked about recapitalizing this project. Charles and Nick bought the land before the recession. The Great Recession happened. A lot of things changed. Land values plummeted. Jobs were lost. But coming out of the recession, we saw an opportunity here to create a very special project. So Shopoff Realty Investments, what we do is land development. And we made an arrangement with Charles and Nick to take over day-to-day operation of this development. So what we're going to present to you today is a culmination of the past several years of efforts by our land planning team, our architects, and our planners. As Chairman Whitman noted, the project will include up to two boutique hotels, a 36-unit hotel, a 5-star resort, and also a 60-key 4-star resort, and having two different brands and levels of service associated with those resorts. Along with that, we have villas associated with those resorts. So the villa owners, they will own them as a condominium, but will have access to the amenities within the resorts. In addition, the resorts will have certain amenities open to the public, including restaurants, spa, bars, open space, and other recreational amenities. To familiarize yourself with where the site is located, we're in the south end of the Ski Valley in Kachina, highlighted in white there at the bottom, approximately 74 acres of land. It has a little flag lot at the top, and that is located directly across from the hiker parking lot and surrounds the Wheeler Peak condominiums. Talked a little bit about how long this area has been envisioned for development. Going back to 1973, when the Patterson family put together a master plan for the Kachina area, a lot of hurdles and obstacles in the way of that. Water, sewer, infrastructure, roadways. Fast forward to 2004, the Patterson family proposed a preliminary plat that was approved for 27 homes, known as Block 4, a portion of the 74 acres. That was approved, but never built, never developed. So that approval, which was a zone change to residential, from agricultural recreational to residential, that expired. But that was what's known as Block 4. Block 4 doesn't exist as a formal mapping subdivision block, but it's a proposed block. In 2007, Charles and Nick Sonny acquired Block 2, which is 4 acres right directly across from Hiker parking lot at the curve. In 2009, John Holly, who's here with us today, put together a master plan, a more contemporary design for the Kachina master plan. And in 2015, Charles and Nick completed the purchase of Block 4, the 70 acres, total 74. And in 2017, we took over. So since then, we've had a lot of involvement here in the village. We met with village staff early on, stakeholders in the community, and formulated a plan that we felt was fitting and of quality for this area. We participated in the selection of the high altitude water tank that is just finishing completion now. We were part of that process. There was some alternate locations suggested for that tank. That tank is a critical part of Kachina, and anyone that has stake or property or homes in Kachina or businesses, that tank benefits them and the village as a whole. It's additional storage capacity for water. It provides pressure, whereas certain systems before it had to rely on pumps. We've also participated in the Kachina master plan process. That process was temporarily suspended, but I feel that's an important part for Kachina long term. And most recently, we've been an active participant in the Source Water Protection Committee, and those meetings are important because we're talking about protecting the water resources in the village. The Phoenix Spring is our sole source of water right now. On our property is Gunsight Spring. That is a secondary source of water for the village that needs to be developed. It was originally developed back in the 80s, but had to be abandoned because of water quality issues, but we feel moving farther up the mountain, we can find the quality of water and we can develop that second source of water for the village. It'll provide additional water source and water supply, but it'll more importantly provide that secondary source so that in an event of a man-made or natural incident that knocks out one of the water sources, we have a secondary source of water for the village. The blue arrow shows where we're at today. About a year ago, we did a study session here before the commission and presented the project informally at that point. We've moved forward with the application, working with staff, working with our engineers on the details and the design, and we've been working on a development agreement so that what we say and what we promise is in writing. The green arrows represent the future build out and where we go from here. We will be putting together a conditional use permit application after the zoning and the preliminary plat. We'll have to go to the city council. We'll have to put together site improvement plans, street improvement plans, grading plans, and go into development. And the development is approximately an 8-year phase development. So let me show you and give you the overview on the existing zoning. At the bottom here in pink is the commercial business zone. That's block 2. That's 4 acres. That's part of the project. That's already zoned to allow any commercial residential use. And then the area shaded in white is the 70 acres that's currently zoned agricultural recreational. And shaded within that is what was proposed to be block 4. That was the area that the Patterson family rezoned back in 2004. To the north, which is the left side of the screen, in blue, the residential zone. You see the hiker parking lot in yellow. And then purple areas are commercial business zone, which includes the Willow Peak condominiums, the Bavarian, and Phoenix.
Can you tell me how many units could be built there
under the existing zoning? Whatever you could fit there. It really depends on how many you could fit. 4 acres, probably 80 units. 80 villas or condominiums. So this is the proposed zoning, and we are proposing a residential commercial overlay zone that's in your zoning ordinance, and that will allow for a variety of uses, the villas and the hotels, to be built within the property. So what you see is block 2, which was the commercial business, that will be the residential commercial overlay. And then a modified block 4 in the peach color, that will be residential commercial overlay. And then the green area, we're proposing to be improved open space. And this will allow for that open space to be preserved in perpetuity, but also allow for passive recreational uses. We have existing trails in there. We see some opportunities for high altitude passive recreational uses, and then of course the open space preservation. So why we're here today, we're seeking a zone change to allow for the residential commercial overlay for block 4 and block 2. We're seeking a zone change from agricultural recreational to improved open space for the open space area, which is about 75% of the property. And we're also asking for a preliminary plat approval. I'd like to introduce Stephen Scott from NAMA Resorts, who can talk to us a little bit about the overview of the resort operation.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for having us here today. Just to give you the background with NAMA, we Vaughan Reader, myself, a number of colleagues have worked with Adrian Zecca, who founded Urban Resorts back in the late 80s for 30 years. Adrian first came to Taos, I guess about 8 years ago, and fell in love with the destination. We've developed 33, 34 hotels and resorts all over the world, and a number of those have been in remote locations and in small communities. So what we're embarking on here is something which is not new to us. The two other properties we've developed in America, Amangiri and Canyon Point in Utah, is in a very remote location. Amangiri in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, also in a relatively remote location, both in small communities. Amangiri is accessed through Page in northern Arizona, and both of those projects have been enormously successful. We do things in a very non-corporate way. Every resort or hotel we create is crafted and in response to the destination. We take into consideration the landscape of the destination, the physical landscape, the social landscape, the cultural landscape. And what we do is embrace the destination. We expect to have travellers coming from all over the world, and they'll be coming here and they'll be drawn here because of what Taos, New Mexico, the Mesquite Valley offer. We recruit within the local communities. You always find that by recruiting from local communities, our staff have pride in the communities and they have pride in the resorts they work in. We do things in a pretty relaxed way. It's very subtle, it's very discreet. In being drawn to this site, we don't want the character of the site to change in any way. All of the development is set back from the road. We'll be respecting the trees and the landscape, and there'll be minimal visual impact. We understand that basically it's a roadway that goes in, it's a no-through road, so we have to be very considerate of planning the logistics of the operation of the resort to minimise the traffic on the roadway. If we look back at the word Aman, which is the prefix for all of the resorts, in Sanskrit, means peace. What we have here in the valley is an overwhelming sense of peace, and that has to be retained, and that's very much objective. I think it can be a beautiful resort, and I think it can enhance the valley and everything for the local residents here. So for us, it's a wonderful privilege to be welcome to do this, and we'll do it with great sensitivity. Our success is heavily influenced by the relationship we have with the local community, and in that respect, we'll be very respectful.
Thank you, Steve. Pardon me. Brian, who's next?
Mark Rogers with TRG Land.
Good, thank you.
Good afternoon. A little bit over a year ago, I got to speak with everybody. Setting was a little different than it is right now. Does this operate the...
Yes, sir, it should.
So I go forward.
It ought to. I turned it on.
Well, maybe not. No, that's fine. For those of you who I didn't get a chance to meet last year, my name is Mark Rogers. I've been doing land planning for 41 years. My background is rooted in landscape architecture, like my friend John Hawley. It's sort of the fundamental or the underpinnings of how we approach land planning in every project we do. And I've had great mentors throughout my 41 years of doing this that have taught me to focus on the process and not the outcome. And that's important when you do projects in sensitive areas like this. We operate in the Western United States, primarily in California. And I know that California comes with all sorts of baggage for a lot of people in a lot of places. But the one thing you have to do in California is you have to follow CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. And it's a real great training tool for how to go through both science and community input to provide solutions that really meet the objectives of both the existing constituency and what the land will really give you. Throughout my career, I've been rooted in natural science as a foundation of most of the projects that we do. It's the most important part of the project in terms of realizing the end goal, putting the project to the ground. There's a lot of projects that are drawn that never get built. We have a great success ratio of getting our projects built due to the process that we undertake. Which one of these, Brian? This one? There we go. There's a picture of our planning team, except for me. I must be taking the pictures rather than being in them. But we have a great team of people that participated in the site planning, including the architect who's worked with the El Mon Resorts for most of his career and been partnering with Stephen and Vaughn in the efforts to do so. Site photos, I'm sure everybody understands this site. In order to really show it photographically, we'd probably have to spend a whole half hour going through site photos of all the various features of the project. If you're not familiar with them, we'd be happy to take you on a tour in the process of getting our project approved. So Brian alluded to master planning. This project has been master planned over a period of about 50 years. And what that tells you is, you know, I think Culberson from Design Workshop was one of the first guys to come down to the valley and work in behalf of the community to do the initial master planning. He is also an LSU grad like myself, which I'm very proud of. And I think those early master plan concepts that helped create what is the resort concept for this ski valley still holds very true. And it became some of the foundations of what we're working off of to continue the master planning effort. Probably this master plan in particular represented the tenets of what became the basis for our current master plan. So as you can see, as you can see, a lot of the activity in the project is focused above what we all know as the Wheeler Peak condos. So this is the big bend in the road that comes out to the valley, and the activity is located upstream of the Wheeler Peak condos. A lot of the utilities and infrastructure that services project area were put in at that time. So we benefit from some of those improvements that come into the property here, as well as in this direction here, and we can build off of that master planning effort. The most current master plan was done by John Hawley. It focuses on the area to the south of our project, and I believe most of this property is owned in by the ski corp, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, John?
Most of the property?
Yes, in this master plan.
Yeah.
Okay. But there is property owned by the ski corp as well as the existing.
They have a portion of it now. At the time we did this, they did not.
Okay.
It's a small portion.
But what I think is important is building on the synergy that's going on. I know the ski corp is currently active in the same area. They're looking at upgrading facilities, providing new facilities. And I think what happens in development, when the time is right, and it appears the time is right, the development entities come together and produce plans that can be built and coordinate things like utilities, like organizing the master plan elements around one another so that they're all thought of together. I think it's going to be important that we work closely with the ski corp in our project to ensure that what we end up with here is balanced and in harmony with the expectations of the community. Opportunities, and we always talk about opportunities and constraints as a planning tool. It's mainly to communicate back to our audience the elements that we've distilled out of the process, the major elements that help guide our thinking. For sure, the biggest opportunity that I think we've had in this project is the collective memory and the institutional memory of the people that are already here, Don Schreiber, John Hawley, Roger Pattison, in trying to understand what's going on up here. I've been to this property maybe four times And that's clearly not enough time to really understand it at the level of detail to get to the issues that we have to deal with. But when you have the guidance of people who have been here most of their career or all of their lives, it gives you a great head start. So I think the greatest opportunity we've had in this project is having at our behest the people who are involved with this property for decades. They've helped us find the features that we've focused on, find the issues and opportunities that we've focused on, and provide us with a path to getting to these elements and providing a master plan around those things. So, you know, obviously some of the things that we have in the project are the existing environment that the project sits in. It's a very delicate environment, as Stephen alluded to. And I think when you look at places like this and you're in awe of all the things that make it what it is in the absence of development, you need to recognize development needs to partner with those same elements. I think I said last time I was here, we try to find the most special things about a property and retain them so that they're there in perpetuity. Obviously, we're going to end up with some loss of trees and some grading that will occur in this property. But because it's such a discrete boutique project, we're able to craft it in a way where it has a minimal disruption. We're very focused on the elements that are available to us. And again, I mentioned some of these areas, trails and access to places that unless you've been hiking around in the property, you wouldn't realize are there. But places that we can find activities that support our resort, things that are unique and different and maybe more in kind with the type of resort we're planning for this particular area. Constraints are the next element that we deal with. Probably the single biggest constraint in this property is the terrain. I am a hillside specialist. The current hillside ordinance you have was crafted off an ordinance I did for the city of Brea back in the early 2000s. So we write policy around making sure that projects, when they're put in place, have policy to guide the direction and ensure all the things that we're talking about are maintained in place. One of the unique things we're going to deal with, obviously, has to do with the watershed. And I don't think it is much of a constraint as it is an opportunity, but it can play both ways. This is an opportunity to provide additional water to the community off the Gunsight Springs facility. So that, in essence, is both an opportunity and constraint. The wetlands that we've mapped in the property are also a constraint. When we first arrived in the property, there was no real understanding of where the edges of that wetland began and ended. Very important, and unearthing that and getting to the science of that helped us guide the process in site plan. And then the adjacencies that we have, including community and residences, are going to be very important. We also know in this valley there's already existing commercial activities, ski resort activities, and our ability to play into those is going to be very important. So talking about the overall plan, the project is made up of really two major hotel facilities, the Nama and the Azurai. The Nama is a relatively small, unique type of hotel with 36 rooms. It's intended to cater to a clientele that is flown into the area, shuttled into the area from usually from local jets that they either they own or they rent, and brought into the area where they're basically apart and separate, able to commune with nature, able to ski, and get away from the trappings of urban life. The 36 rooms is a discrete number of rooms. It certainly doesn't compete with the existing hotel, but I think it provides a branding or a benchmark for this part of the valley that'll make it really unique, upscale, which we think, obviously, Aman coming to this project will bring. And the other one is a little bit larger facility, not quite at the same scale in terms of amenities and prestige, but still four-star, 60 rooms down in the Azurai, which is located down here. And then what we've been able to do is carefully locate condos in the roads that lead up to or around both the Aman and the Azurai and find a few extra condos on the eastern side of the project. In total, we're planning on about 159 total units in the project, including all the rooms in the hotels. The project will be phased. The first phase of the project will include thing. Moved. We're doing the prime or the most expensive hotel first, 36 room, and then 16 condos in this area that's been whited out. This will set the benchmark for this project going forward. It's going to be a branding tool for the Aman Resorts. It's going to be a branding tool for Taos Ski Down.
Away from the first phase.
Pardon me.
They're both in the first phase.
Yes. So we have 36 rooms and 16 villas for a total of 52 units in the first phase. The second phase is this lower area with the Azurai that has 60 rooms with 36 villas down here. We intend to use this point that comes off of this big curve in the Kachina Road that comes into the project to become a public amenity that also services the project and a place maybe with a feature that is a gathering place for not only the people that are in the lodges and the condos, but also for the public at large, because this whole area is going to be a higher level activity going forward. So this is the total project that we have to present to you today. Two phases, the final phase being this small cluster of condos out on the eastern area. The foundation of the project is going to be built around trail systems in our project and connectivity back to the community at large. There's unique areas that we'll find upstream of the project area for meditation, yoga, places where people can find refuge, which is a part of this clientele. And then I wanted to finish on some of the images that were produced by the architect. So the Nama Resort concept is built on this idea of Asian simplicity. And the clientele that it services are looking for a different type of hotel experience. These images reinforce both the simplicity and the minimalist aspect to the way these resorts come together. It's a direct contrast to most everything that's going to be done and has been done in the valley. So it's not something that competes with, but it enhances the overall character of the valley as a ski resort. And finally, I mentioned earlier some of the features that we have in the project. Trails and hiking are the single biggest recreational activity in any community. In all the projects I'm doing, I'm focusing on these, because this is what most people are going to want to do. Whether it's with your spouse, your dog, or just for hiking and recreational purposes, this project is circumnavigated by trail systems. We've all walked. We know these paths are accessible, can be improved slightly. But we see it as sort of an integrated part of our resort and also something that works with the balance of the overall master plan of Kachina Valley. So with that, I'm going to turn this back over to my pal, Brian.
Thanks.
We'll wrap it up.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Okay, let me wrap up and hit on a few of the issues that were brought up during our study session last year. Traffic management and parking, vitally important to the village, but vitally important to our operation as well. Our success is your success and vice versa. So as Stephen and Mark talked about, the clientele coming in here, we're expecting, for the most part, coming in through the Taos Airport and having shuttle service prearranged with the resort from the airport, whether that's Taos, Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and having that shuttled service to the resort. Thinking of the black SUV concept, that's primarily what will be employed here. That doesn't mean guests won't come on their own in their own cars, but by and large, they're coming in shuttled cars and vans. Hotel staff, we've identified several properties in the vicinity of the airport where we can provide shuttle services for employees and staff of the resort, including having the ability to take workers directly from there into the valley, providing some housing within the valley for those workers so that during inclement weather, snow storms, what have you, there's spaces for them, places for them to live. and stay overnight. We've also talked to local operators who know the valley. They know the roads here, and would work with them to employ this shuttle service for our guests and employees. Snow management, the internal drives within the project off of Kachina Road are all going to be privately owned and maintained. So this will not be a road that will be burdened by public works. We will employ our own staff to manage the snow, remove snow. We've incorporated snow storage areas into the design with our engineers, and we followed the public standard for those snow storage areas as if they were public roads. But we're going to have those be privately maintained. Altitude sickness, we are at 10,000 feet plus on this property, and altitude sickness is a serious issue for the valley as a whole. It's about education, awareness, training, and having the resources available. So we will work with Dr. Peterson Quigley and work with him to help provide a plan and a path for providing that education, creating that awareness for our guests, providing training to our staff, and giving them the resources and the tools that they need to identify and treat altitude sickness. I'll move on now to some of the public benefits. Development comes with its share of temporary and permanent impacts, some good, some bad. There's construction, there's additional traffic, but there are a lot of benefits that come with it as well. And this area has been planned for development for a long time. I think it's somewhat inevitable. And we're trying to deliver quality development that's fitting for this site. And with that, we can, again, we talked about Gunsight Spring. This is just, I think, at the top of our list because it's so important. We've spent, I don't know, the better part of 2 years in the Source Water Protection Meeting finalizing a plan that I think is in final draft form to protect our water resources here. And this is, I have to say, this is the best water on the planet. It is so incredible that you don't have to treat it. Add a little residual chlorine so that you can put it in the pipes. It's the best tasting water you've ever had. Gunsight Spring can be that secondary source of water. So we're going to dedicate and fee so that the village can own the land for the infiltration gallery. We're going to provide easements for the pipeline and access so that the village can get up there and maintain that facility. The location of Gunsight Spring is perfect because we can just drain by gravity right into the existing water reservoir off of Kachina Road. We talked a little bit about the trails as well. There are existing trails that will be improved and maintained by the resort. We're going to have public trail easements so that the public can access those trails as well. That will enhance the resort. Having that public-private interface with the resort guests and the public will be key for the area. Roadway improvements. There's been a lot of discussion about roadway improvements, what's going to happen. We are going to fund roadway improvements. We're funding $1 million of roadway improvements to help improve the road from the parking lot to Kachina. And that will be phased through the development. In addition, the project itself, we did an analysis. There's a TID here, Ski Corporation's TID. Our project will generate an estimated $18 million in funding towards that TID. Now, we don't control that TID. But if the TID board and the Ski Corp choose to do so, some of that money can be used towards roadway improvements and other infrastructure, or it could simply just pay off that bond debt earlier, which would allow the village to realize the future property tax revenues from the entire village.
$18 million to the TID?
To the TID, through build out of the project. Yes. Access to Kachina. Right now there's only one access. Kachina's closed as a park area, and we were asked to look at a concept that I had heard discussed over the past several years, and I've heard good things about it. I've heard bad things about it. But no one put pen to paper on what I call the Kachina Bypass. And this would be a roadway that would be very ambitious to build, design, maintain. And I think that's where I've heard, you know, some of the pros and cons about this. But again, we wanted to actually put pen to paper. We hired engineers, Souther Miller Associates, to do a very rough preliminary conceptual design to see if this is something that's feasible or not. And what you see in red and gray highlighted there, going up through here, that roadway would connect before you get into the parking lot in the Core Village area and veer off to the left and hug the mountainside, wind around Bull of the Woods Spring and tie into Kachina Road at the top. So this could be a secondary source, secondary route into Kachina, whether that's used for emergency purposes only, everyday travel, what have you. There are a lot of obstacles, the sheer cost of it. It's estimated to be $13 million plus, and that's a very rough estimate. We have Forest Service land to deal with. We have permitting, we have design constraints, and most importantly, we have the topography of the mountain. And that is, so you're going to be looking at grading, retaining walls, perhaps even cantilevering the roadway out off the mountainside, and to make sure that that roadway could be designed. So we're not an advocate necessarily of this roadway being built, but we wanted to put pen to paper and provide this as a study for the village for long-term planning purposes to see if in 10, 20, 50 years this road would ever be built. We also hired our engineers to look at the existing roadway to Kachina, Altwining, Zaps, and Porcupine. And we wanted to look at this from a much more practical perspective. We know the roadway conditions right now are substandard. Don did the best he could to get those roads to where they are today. And they require a lot of maintenance. There's dust. There's dangerous curves. There's areas where you need guardrails. So we took an opportunity to work with our engineers and put together a study to identify where we could make improvements, how we could improve the road grades, where we could widen the street and the road, where areas could be paved, maybe some areas that shouldn't be paved, where we could put guardrails to protect areas, and where we might need to not have guardrails so that snow could be pushed off. So we walked it with Chairman Whitman, Patrick, Public Works staff. We took better part of the morning and walked the whole roadway from Hiker parking lot to Kachina, actually the opposite way. It's easier going downhill. Downhill. I think that was your suggestion, Mr. Chairman, so thank you. And it was great to go out there and actually look at it in the field and see what the constraints are and help refine what engineers do. They're going to look at it on paper and take a topographic map and do a study. So this study came up with a number of concepts to widen the road and put wider travel lanes in there, have shoulders, potentially have curb and gutter, and add those safety features. We're going to have to improve drainage. We're going to have to provide snow storage. And so there are areas where we can reduce the grades in some of the steep areas. There's some areas that you're not going to be able to really fix that much. So you're going to have to deal with them. But this is just an excerpt from that study. And one of the more difficult spots here in Porcupine. But there's room for improvement there. It can be made better. So our $1 million we're dedicating towards this. The village has secured funding. I think it was $250,000 to do engineering for the first half of this roadway. So I believe the village is going to issue a request for proposals in the near future here. And this study will serve as a starting point and a platform for the village's engineering work on that. And then we look forward to getting the roadway improvements built. Again, it is not our plan We don't have the control, but I did notice in the TID budget in June that funding was put back in for Kachina Road improvements. The first initial plan had funding for Kachina Road improvements. It was taken out, and now it's put back in. So timing on that, we don't know, but we're hopeful that the combination of funding will allow those road improvements to be done. And with that, I appreciate your time. I know we took a long time here, but it was a lot of material to go through. Our team's here to answer questions you may have.
Thanks, Brian. I don't know how you got all that done in 45 minutes. Doug, question, your presentation.
Yeah, can you describe zoning? Can you show us on the back the zoning change you requested?
Yes.
Yeah, these are interrelated, but it's the second. Good work.
Okay. So, block two is already commercial business. Block four is agricultural recreational. Okay.
So you're talking about the orange area.
This peach orange area will become the residential commercial overlay, which is a combination of both residential and commercial uses. Somewhat of a unique zone that's in your ordinance. And so that just provides more flexibility than having just residential or just commercial.
So that's the only zoning change
you're... We're also asking for the green area. The green area is currently agricultural and recreational. We're asking for a zone change to open space, improved open space.
Okay.
There are a couple different categories of open space. We work with Ms. Baker and Patrick on coming up with the improved open space designation, because that will allow for trails and high altitude recreational opportunities up there.
But no buildings.
No buildings. No development, no buildings.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. We're going to let the commissioners ask questions first. We have a public hearing, and then we have a motion to ask the public to make contributions. And commissioners, anything else on the presentation? Susan?
No? What's the approximate footprint of the building in phase one?
The villas?
Yeah, well, square footage covering the ground.
Don't know if I have that exact number off the top of my head. Probably have it here in our package. I can get it up for you.
I didn't see it, but I probably didn't.
I know we have the total square footage of everything. I'll have to look at it by phase there, see if I can get that for you.
Okay. Brian, are we talking about underground parking for the both hotels?
There'll be partially underground parking and then partially on-grade parking.
What about the villas? Are you satisfying our ordinance requirements for parking for the villas?
We have some modified parking, because the villas, we're not looking at having parking at each villa. Because these are going to be, the owners are coming in, they're going to be parking at the resort. So we've designed the parking in the resort to accommodate the villas. Certain villas will have parking. And what will we be finding? So let me explain. The next steps that we're going to go through here, provided we get through the process here at PNZ and provided we get through council, we will get into a conditional use permit process with the details of the architecture and details on parking and all the fine-tuning of the design elements for the resort.
So infrastructure is clearly a big deal.
Yes.
How carefully have you looked at facing the building with village infrastructure? There's water, clearly. There's sewer. There's natural gas.
Yeah, natural gas has to be extended. That's the big one. There's water available. The high altitude tank will increase the water supply and pressure. That is a key component here, because having this sort of development rely on pumps is not good. So having that pressure naturally through gravity is key for this. Sewer lines are adequate, and then the natural gas is the big one.
What about sewage treatment?
Sewage treatment, but the expansion of the treatment plant will provide for adequate treatment. It'll be sufficient treatment capacity. We went through that early on.
Yeah, they have spent considerable time in our public works department with how much sewer water they're going to be receiving and how much pressure they need for this development. Anthony, I don't know, our public works director is here. Do you have anything you want to add to that as far as water pressure? And, I mean, we've got 63 villas being built, 150 rooms total. Are they all going to get 50 pounds of pressure?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, based off of the 250,000-gallon tank that would be installed, the chain of tank that is pretty much complete, that would give sufficient pressure to do water, to the pressure and water. Right now, Kachina Village, at the base of where the pumps are at, is at 30 PSI. So just with that little bit of, from Phoenix Coordination Building down to where they're at, it's 30 PSI. So we're definitely gaining, 100 feet of head. So we'll definitely have plenty of pressure. And of course, the 250,000 gallons, if we have both tanks operational, would be sufficient. The tank is separated into two tanks, so 125,000 each. So we'd be able to have a capacity of either 125 or 250,000 gallons.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Dick,
when do you anticipate starting phase two?
Well, most likely in the spring of 2021. We have quite a bit of work to do. There may be able to do some selective clearing or preparation in advance next year, but again, we have to go through a conditional use permit. We've got a lot more engineering work to do, so like to be the 2 years.
That's before beginning it?
To begin, yes.
I saw in your write-up the traffic studies seem to be based on December 2023, 2019, which isn't a particularly busy time. It waits till right after Christmas to be busy. So traffic on the 20 is a huge deal.
Yes. So
could you say a bit more about traffic impacts both during construction?
Sure. So the traffic study was somewhat of a difficult, almost academic exercise to try and count cars and do an extrapolation based on type land use and square footage, how much a typical hotel would generate. Well, this is not a typical hotel. Very different in the way it operates and the way they manage the vehicles. But in essence, it will be, again, how we manage our staff and our guests. Providing the shuttle service for the staff, providing the black SUVs for the guests. That's not only to get them back and forth to the airport, but also to get them to their daily activities when they go places during their stay. And as Steve and Scott explained, their resort operations worldwide, it's a retreat from metropolitan urban life. And they come for the tranquility, the quiet time. So it's a different resort environment than, say a more typical hotel, a Marriott, for instance. That combined with, we're going to add traffic, but it's not a, there's not a traffic congestion problem, which is often what we deal with. It's the roadway conditions, and that's where we felt it was important to obligate, put those funds out there, and again, that's part of our development agreement, so what we say is what we do.
Yep.
Just carrying on a little bit on that, but I think it's what you're doing with the studies and that for the roads is really good. I think, would it be possible maybe that you could get the TSVI and the village to come up with a combined master plan for having bus and shuttle services running up and down there, because it's a really a three-way problem. It's not just you, it's not just the village, it's not just TSVI. Everybody's contributing towards this. If you would all get together with it, it would really help.
I, certainly welcome it. We've had a lot of good meetings, conversations with Ski Corporation. We'll continue that dialogue. And I had the dialogue with Peter Talty about 2 weeks ago. So we are in conversation, and we're still a little early, but that dialogue needs to continue. I appreciate the suggestion.
Yeah, it's really
no, that's
really colorful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So, where did that avalanche data come?
That was a study done. That was done.
The village initiated a study. His name was Art Mears. Well, Art Mears, but now he's retired. A guy named Wilbert, his associate, has been back up here. But the village authorized that, and then. So these have been substantiated twice now, either with some of our guys plus what they've done, and that avalanche has been obviously a constraint with respect to the property. But the interesting thing about it is that the property at the upper elevations of where this resort will be is significantly clear of any avalanche. It's something, and you know what, if anybody's required to do a site-specific avalanche study, if it's seems reasonable, close to these things are mapped more generalized. They haven't been surveyed individually, it's a uniform guide to the valley as a whole. So,
maybe it doesn't matter, but I've been up there, of course, and there's some what look like avalanche zones on the higher end of the property. Turn on the map. They may not be on your property, but they're certainly on the map. Okay. It seems kind of important. Whose responsibility is it? The village's or the developer to make sure you don't build a house that doesn't have avalanche?
Well, ultimately, it's both. I mean, you know, we got to look and we want to cite a safe building. But the village is part of this as well. But if you was to look topographically, there's no way those avalanches, there's a ridge up there, and on each side of that ridge, it's like horns. These horns go around what we're developing. There's an avalanche in the basin that goes to Kachina wetlands, and then there's another avalanche in a steep area that's not obligated to our property along the gun site. So we feel like it's way more to say. If the village wants to call our hand on it, then
okay.
They can.
Thanks. So this open space, who would be responsible for forest management?
So the resort management. So they would be, it wouldn't necessarily be a homeowners association, but the resort itself would manage it as if they were the homeowners association, if that makes sense. And part of this, I'll fast forward here so everyone can take a look at it. Bear with me. Okay, so there are some areas up top here, there, and then over here that we can provide some trail access to that we envision some high altitude recreation, yoga, fitness, meditation, what have you. But no structures would be developed in there. There's no development of anything, any sort allowed under your code. And that would be, taking this recreational agricultural zone. I don't know what anyone would do up there, but it would, in perpetuity, put it to open space.
I'm more thinking about who's responsible.
Yeah, but we, the
forest,
resort.
The dead trees were pulled out of there.
Yeah, absolutely,
that
yeah.
Would definitely
and
be a resort.
That would be a resort responsibility.
Not some kind of diffuse thing with all the different condominium owners.
No, the condos are under the resort management. And I believe that's in our draft development agreement that we've been working with Ms. Baker on. Who maintains that? That's specified in the development agreement.
Thanks, Jim.
Question for Roger, since he knows the property. Is there a lot of mitigation that needs to take place to make it firewise compatible?
It's largely untreated property and has the normal amount of dead standing and dead down trees that need to be addressed.
Thanks, Brian, very much.
Thank you.
Patrick, I'd like you to
Yeah, if I could. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The staff has studied this at length, and he has a staff report to provide to us on his recommendations for what we're doing today.
So the project conceptually is very well conceived and well presented. It's been thought through at a very good conceptual level. As this is a request for a preliminary plat, Mr. Chairman, the applicant has provided many of the required submittals under Section 3.4 of the subdivision ordinance. However, the degree of specificity and detail necessary to form an informed opinion has not been provided. Important information is incomplete, and further refinement and details are necessary for a thorough assessment and analysis. The applicant submitted the following supporting documents. The preliminary plat submittal from this month. And all this was provided in your packets, but I mentioned this mainly for the audience and others that may be interested. The resort at Towski Valley provided a resort terrain management plan in July. They provided a preliminary drainage report in September. Then the village staff reviewed those documents, and we provided a preliminary response to the terrain management and plat submittal, and a response to their terrain management plan on October 3rd. The applicant also provided, as you saw, the Kachino Road Bypass Feasibility Study and a traffic impact analysis of back in April this year. So, again, it's well presented, it's well conceived conceptually. However, there are several important details and information missing on the preliminary plat, which staff would like to see and urge the commission to direct the applicant to include on a resubmittal of their plat documents and other submittals. And if I should go to my recommendation now, Mr. Chairman, so as I mentioned, many issues and items necessary to recommend approval and or conditions of approval are included, are necessary to be included in a development agreement. This agreement is incomplete and in process. Additional materials and revised submittals are also necessary to complete a thorough staff review and provide a recommendation to this body. Staff would recommend a motion of continuance of this public hearing following public comment for the preliminary plat for the resort of Towski Valley, LLC.
Thank you, Patrick. I will inform the public that this is unusual for us. We've never had a continuation voted on by this commission. Usually we have a public hearing and then we have a vote by the commission. If the commission is so inclined to put a motion on the floor for this continuance, we're still going to have two public hearings today. We want to hear from you. So we're going to have a public hearing for this preliminary plat and for the rezoning, both. And then if the commission votes on a continuation, we'll continue that at another meeting. I'm not sure when that's going to happen yet. That's up to our planning staff. So we're going to have Neil makes a motion for this continuance. Thanks, Jim. Discussion. Question.
Thank you. Wouldn't the next phase, I'm asking this of Brian, the next design phase, when you cover the missing items that Patrick's looking for?
Yes, we would provide a lot more details and specificity. We did receive comments on Friday from an engineer that the village hired to review the plans. We just received those Friday, so obviously, I don't have a response to those yet. Our engineer is working on them. And we do have a draft development agreement that we've been working with Patrick and Ms. Baker on. We feel that's in substantial shape, but there's still some details to be ironed out on that. Now that is, I think Ms. Baker, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a council matter.
But you've got ongoing design. It's going to take you a while to design a project. Yeah.
Yes, it will.
I mean, you're not going to design it overnight. So will you agree to address the issues that Patrick has?
Go ahead, Patrick.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the wording preliminary plat can be a little misleading. It's far from preliminary. If approved, it sets in motion and provides certain entitlements to the landowner, to the developer. The details need to be fleshed out in a very fine degree at this stage, because if approved, they're going to build it and build just that. That's what they're legally obligated to do. So we want to get it just right that the location of the gun site, the easements for public trails, the maintenance of utilities, to name a few, are more provided in greater specificity.
If I may, Commissioner Duffy, I would like to have the commission get to a decision today, a favorable one ideally, but out of respect for Mr. Nicholson, staff wants to work out some additional design details so that if it's staff's desire and the commission's desire, we'll work with staff, get those details ironed out, and we'll come back to you, whether it's a month or 2 months or whatever it is, but we'll come back to you with those refinements that staff's asking for.
But you're going to be spending a lot of money on design.
We already have.
You already
and we're going to spend some more.
Just a second. Attorney
Baker? Yeah, just a legal comment. Once a preliminary plat is given final approval, and this is a recommending body, those lots are going to be set in stone. And I would ask that we consider the location of easements. These are issues separate from design. I understand what you're saying about design, but utility easements, road widths, who's going to maintain roads, if they're private or are they public? Just some key issues in the configuration of the plat. So we just want to make sure we're covering that base today, among other things, before approval is given. Because it does, it's somewhat set it in stone.
Yeah. I think you maybe answered my question there, which was, you know, it was a little bit more specifics. Is it a lot of specifics, or is it just a small amount of it?
I guess I would, just from a legal perspective, I'd like to see more information on the plan about roads. I'm understanding the roads are to be private. The development agreement talks about that, but then who will maintain the roads? What does the access look like? Is it a gated community? Is there public access? Those are things when we designate easements, and the roads would technically be easements. Are they private easements? Are they public easements? There's some specificity there that I'd like to see in terms of roads and easements.
Henry, where does the development agreement fit into this?
It's finally approved by council. The applicant asked that it be presented to Planning Commission, and I think it's important for Planning Commission to weigh in. Like they say, the devil's in the details, and there are lots of details. I needed more feedback from this body in order to continue working on the development agreement. I took about 8 pages of notes today of little things I hadn't thought of, and you all made comments, the applicant made comments, and those will need to go into the development agreement. So it's a process, but we have to hear from all of you and staff and even the public before we can actually finalize the development agreement. It's by no means final. And I'd like to have a more final form to bring back to this body, even though they're not the final authority. They're a recommending body, but it's still important in those details.
Thanks, Susan. Remember, everybody, we have a motion on the floor for a continuation of public hearings. Basically, if that passes by this commission, that means that this is ongoing. We're not going to vote on granting this preliminary plat or granting the zoning change today, if this motion goes forward. Mm-hmm. So I'll open up to the public. Any comments you want to make in the discussion? Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Christoph Brownell. I'm the mayor of the village. I have a couple questions for the developer. Are there any plans for staff housing on site?
Not on site. At this time, Charles Fox and Nick Sani also own 0.7 acres of land that's part of the Wheeler Peak condominium property. And that comes with the development rights already under the Wheeler Peak condominiums. And that would be an ideal location where we could develop condominiums that complement our architecture and provide for market rate condominiums that could be rented out to the general public, but also could be used for staffing. So that when there's a need for staffing to stay there, there'd be rooms available.
And I'll remind everybody in the discussion is on whether we should continue the public hearings at a later date. So is anyone want a decision out of this body today? Say it. That's what I'm kind of driving at. Or you like the idea of pushing this down the road a little bit. Could you give us your name? And
my name's Phaedra Greenwood, and I'm a downstream from you in Arroyo Hondo, where I've lived for 40, 50 years.
Okay.
I'm definitely concerned about the impact this is all going to have on the river, which we depend on, which my household actually depends on for our household use. And I would really like to see that taken into consideration very seriously, whether it means an environmental study, which I think it deserves. And I would like to see this discussion continue.
That means you're in favor of a continuation of public hearings?
Yes, I think the public needs to get involved.
Me
too.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I'd also like to see a continuation. I think it's disingenuous. I've been driving for 4 decades up to Chair 4 because I avoid the base area like the plague. Mm-hmm. I actually like that little car routine. And I have to say that I'm a regular at the auto body shop, even with my careful driving and my big luck tires. That straightaway after you get past the beaver pond is lethal. And I can't imagine having that kind of traffic. I think what we really need to be serious about this project is have the upper area be car free and put into a gondola system, like Telluride has, because that road will not handle the additional traffic. And I think the village would be exposing itself to liability if they approved a project like this and people were wrecking all over the place every winter.
So you would like a continuation of
this? Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I would like a continuation.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes.
I would like a continuation.
Thanks, Ken. Anyone else in the public like to comment?
So
your name, please.
Brandon Swim. I represent the Bavarian Chalets.
Thanks.
There's 6 units up there. I mean, yeah, I think continuation or no would be my vote. You know, the infrastructure is a real concern. I heard what you had to say about the water tank, and so that's exciting because we had significant water issues last year and the year before, not so much 2 years ago because there was no snow. But as traffic's increased at the ski valley and the number of people staying up here has increased, we've had significant water issues where there's been no water or no hot water because there's not enough pressure to turn on boilers. And then, of course, the road, as everyone's mentioned, there's been, you know, huge pileups, and access in and out of the Kachina Basin area has been completely shut down.
Brandon, remember, we're going to have a public hearing for whether you're in favor of this or against it, so
yeah.
save yourself.
Okay.
That being the case, I'll close the discussion, and I'll call for a vote. The vote is on continuance of the public hearings for preliminary plat and the zoning. Both. You
want to intimidate certainly probably would help the applicant make all those steps.
And the zoning. So two things. Neil, you agree with that? You made the motion? Jim Woodard, you agree with that? Second, a call for a vote. All those in favor of this continuance signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed. Okay. 6-1.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Patrick.
To provide clarity to everyone and to everyone's schedules, can we get a date fixed, date certain for the continuance?
You're the one that's wagging this dog, so.
February 3rd, 2020.
February 3rd. You hear that, Brian?
I hear it.
Okay. I'd like all the public to know that too, and we'll have a better meeting room next time. So, we're going to have two public hearings. In a public hearing, I'll ask people to speak in favor. I'll ask people to speak against. If you're not quite sure, pick one of those. And then there will not be a motion after this, so I'll ask the commissioners to make comments on what they're going to hear, if they have those comments to be made. So, the first public hearing is...
Just mention to people that the commissioners are allowed to ask questions of people that are either for or against it afterwards.
Not during. Okay. So, we'll open a first public hearing for consideration to approve a preliminary plat for the Resort of Taos Ski Hill. Those that would like to speak for this. Brian.
Thank you, Chairman Whitman. Members of the commission, I gave you my presentation. Obviously, the two are tied. So I think it would be most appropriate that while we're very much in favor of the preliminary plat, as the applicant, it would make most sense to have both the preliminary plat and the zone changes go before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the same time on February 3rd. So.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you very much. Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this? Don Shiver.
Chairman Whitman, members of the commission. I'd like to point out that over the years, this project has been kicked around for a while, but the whole idea as to how this project was designed has been in conformance with what we initiated about 10 years ago. Through the work with Planning Commission and the Council, we adopted a hillside ordinance. So specifically addresses how you deal with projects on this type of terrain. And then, on the other hand, we did a preliminary plat for previous owner, the Pattisons, for what we call Block 4 years ago. And that initiated a full-blown rewrite of the subdivision ordinance in its entirety with respect to how you develop and come up with grading plans to development in these hillsides. So what that did is it allowed us to get separation between development and create these open space areas, and it's all subject to the applicant having access to this available land that can be dedicated to open space, so it allows cluster development. In a sense, what I'm saying is we got areas up there where you get a road to it, then you can put your development, like say on a bench or a shelf. It may look untenable to most people driving along that road, but there are developable areas up there that just super if you do it right. And these guys, so what I'm trying to get at, once we recognized that originally doing a traditional subdivision of just 27, 30 individual lots was not the appropriate way to develop this property. So the village, we all got together, and by gosh, we came up with an ordinance that allows people to create more density, but it allows them to effectively site the development the way the land is shows itself. So I just want to make that point. It's a very appropriate way to develop this type of terrain. So whether I'm for or against the continuance, I'm for the fact this is an appropriate design for that land.
Thanks, Don, very much. Anyone else that would like to speak for this development?
Sure. Mark Rogers again. I think the issue is whether Kachina Valley is ever going to be improved. And my understanding is there's a lot of forces apart from this project that are moving towards that. And we talked about improving the facilities and adding new elements into the Kachina Valley. It would be dependent on all the aforementioned issues, and they're all important issues. I think what you have right now is an opportunity to combine the energy and financial resources of the Ski Corp, the energy and the financial resources of this development to get to some of these improvements that are so necessary. appears to me, being an outsider, not in the valley 24/7, that the activity is inevitable up there. And if it is, I think you have a great opportunity by joining those forces to provide for those facilities that make this a reality. And I think, you know, one or the other is probably not going to get you there. But both of them combined, and the resources, both financially and the energy that's being put into it. And if none of you have seen the engineering studies that the ShopHev group have done for this project to date, I think it's worth you looking at those. And it's not serendipitous. They are serious. They're spending money getting to these solutions, as is the ski corp. So I think the fundamental question that the community has to ask itself is there an interest in going forward with Kachina Valley? And I think if it's not both of these together, it's probably not. But there's certainly an opportunity with the energy that's coming forward from this group, and I know the ski corp and their bonding capacities would allow for the opportunity to improve the problems that exist there today. So I'm in favor of this project.
Thank you, Mark, very much. Anyone else speak for this development? John.
John Hulley. What I'd like to bring up is a trip down memory lane a little bit. 2005, roughly, we've been involved in planning up here for a long time, started exploring the opportunity of what could the Kachina Basin realistically look like in its best possible light, which certain aspect of development that would be thoughtfully master planned instead of ad hoc developed piecemeal, one piece after another. I remember at that time, I think Roger's family thought I was pretty crazy when I introduced the concept of a 100-acre deal that would basically attempt to carve out the remaining property that the Pattisons own that might possibly be available for development, which created the parcel you're looking at today, which is 70 acres of the original 100-acre tract Roger and I walked together to try to identify. It was a combination of what would be developed and it combined with a perimeter aspect of property that would have to be managed in a way that we've discussed today, whether it be for fire protection or for amenities for the community to enjoy the recreation. We basically defined something up there. And over the years since then, we've had numerous meetings discussing what this concept would be. Maybe this is appropriate. Maybe the village would like to see some modification of what's there. But I'd like to suggest that I believe this team's done an amazing job to create a project that's in lockstep with planning that's gone on for a number of years. And I support this project.
Thank you, John, very much. Anyone else who would like to speak for this project?
Yeah, for the past 30 years I've been involved in developing and opening and operating resorts in remote locations. We've gone into tiny villages in India, we've gone into small villages in Indonesia, we've gone into a country, Bhutan, in the Himalayas, and developed the finest five lodges there. One of the greatest rewards we receive out of that is to see the development of the local communities. We take youngsters in their late teens, early 20s, and we develop them, we give them careers, and we would like to see the same here. I think here's a wonderful opportunity with what's been created so far. It's a very, very sensitive development, and I think it can be used as a benchmark for future development throughout the state and the rest of America. And I think you've got the opportunity as a community to embrace that opportunity, and I think you'll be very proud of the finished product.
Thank you, Stephen. Anyone else who would like to speak for this project?
My name is Martin Moles. I'm a partner in the Engel & Wolkers Real Estate Brokerage. I live in Arroyo Seco. I've got property here in the Ski Valley. In the 1990s, I worked with a gentleman named William Zaga, who's Adrian's cousin, when I lived in Southeast Asia for 6 years. I just want to say that the Yaman group is a pretty incredible group. The developments that they have in Asia are world class. I think if there are people in the room who want to see Taos Ski Valley sort of on the world stage, this is the group to work with. I think if there are people in the room that don't want that, we understand what the risks are. All the issues are real, but I think if there's going to be a resort up there, this is probably the group to work with. So I hope that the village is being. You guys can all come together on this one.
Thanks, Martin. Anyone else who would like to speak for?
That being in a case, I'll call for anyone that would like to speak against this development. State your name for the secretary, please.
My name's Clifton Bain. I live in Arroyo Hondo the last 40 years. As many of you have been around a long time. When the first Kachina Village scheme was presented in the late 70s, there was a lot of opposition. And at that time, there was no village of Tawaski Valley. The county had jurisdiction, and most importantly, the National Forest had jurisdiction. I believe that even though the village exists now and has for quite a while, I'd like to remind, and I know you know this, but I'd like to remind everybody that first and foremost, the village is the first level of having the privilege and the responsibility to protect these remarkably sacred headwaters of the Taos Valley. I have to offer my opinion that the degree of growth that has happened has indicated a lapse of that privilege and responsibility. I've also seen, you know, we're now at the where a new forest plan has been presented to the public, and the comment period is going to end very, very soon, perhaps tomorrow. But the National Forest, Carson National Forest, also has the responsibility to manage, to examine, to study the cumulative and comprehensive impacts of human activity in this watershed. You know, I have to offer right now that that has been a lapse of responsibility. There are limits to growth on this planet of what the human beings, what we can inflict on the natural systems. And everywhere in the world, we see that those limits have been exceeded. And we also see a rising concern worldwide. There are people that are realizing that there is a privilege and an obligation of every one of us human beings to intervene, to be involved, to push for the kind of studies that are necessary. There are so many aspects of what is happening up in this watershed that should have been subjected to what we call environmental impact studies or whatever. Intensive examination, publicly based, involving all the stakeholders. There clearly, in my, you know, the water that flows down this mountain, it first services the people up here and the commercial interests that are up here. But we all have vested interests, you know, as an acequia parciante. I know that there has been cumulative impairment. I want to know how much water. Just the information is so elusive. But I want to know how many water rights are already transferred to the gun site spring. I personally like to know what water rights are underpinning the existing development that has improved by these bodies. There has been very, very little disclosure, and I just want to close quickly and say that there have been times when the people from below would come up here and we would demonstrate against inadequate sewage treatment. We demonstrated against and got involved in intervening and successfully blocking a lot of development. I'm grateful that I happened to know about this meeting because I received an email forward a couple of days ago, but there are very, very many people that aren't here. I want to know where the Forest Service is. I want to know why we don't have a representative of the state engineer here to address water issues. I fervently hope that those people, those entities will get involved and that many of the public will get involved because we have to collectively address how much development can this ecosystem sustain. And it's not just about the human beings, it's about all the creatures that rely on this water up in here and down below all the way to the ocean. And those are considerations that I and many, many other people are feeling in our hearts. And I hope you all understand that this is what Taos consciousness is. And I know what you run into it elsewhere, but there will be significant resistance to this excessive development.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak against?
Yes. My name is Ken Gillard. I've been part of this community for almost 50 years. I certainly understand that this community up here needs to be viably successful in order to contribute to the community in general. I was around for some of the early Kachina Village discussions, which were mapped out here in those early days, and some of the issues that rose to obvious status at that point in time are still not addressed with, same as Cliff is saying, water issues. But, accessibility for emergency services and stuff like that, you can improve this road all you want, but it is ultimately a very difficult access scenario. When the predecessor to this hotel burned down in the spring of 96, we have a very active volunteer fire department, but it's easy to get overwhelmed. We've lost many houses as a result of that over the years. And when this hotel burned, we had support come from the town of Taos, from the Hondo Seiko volunteer fire department. And when you see a fire engine trying to come up this road, you will know it is untenable as a safe situation. They labor in the first year to get up this hill, and as a result, that the Edelweiss burned to the ground. We were all here pretty early when that fire started, but you could not get emergency services in place to save the day. All the way up there, sure, we have a little fire station. Well, you got to get the people to the fire station. We have one truck up there and then a kind of a rescue vehicle of sorts. It's just ambulances, whatever. It is just a very, very remote location that makes this, kind of a disaster in the making. All you have to do is look at what's happening in California, right? There's enough disaster going on there that, we could easily repeat here. God forbid it never happens. But we're getting ourselves a bed, made in the middle of the railroad tracks with this. As far as, looking at Shopoff's history of development, I see their history is, apartment buildings and commercial centers, some golf courses. I did not see in their portfolio one mountain venue or high altitude, and we are talking 10,000 feet. Sure, the resort operator has a place in Jackson. Jackson is 6,000 feet. This place is 10,000 feet. That is a whole other dimension. You can, physiologically, the issue came up back 50 years ago also with what do you do with people who, by and large, if they're not coming from sea level, they're coming from 300 feet above sea level. Yeah. You can educate all you want. Physiology is physiology. I've been a mountaineer and a climber for most of my years. The only mitigation for altitude sickness is going down. Okay? So you can educate people to the max, but it's like you have to bring them down in altitude. I also ranch in the summer, and it's like, cattle, they get a condition called brisket. They come up to our ranch at 8,600 feet. They get this condition called brisket. The only way you get rid of it, you can't medicate them, you have to bring them down and out. That is the nature of altitude sickness. I got a long laundry list of other things, but I'll leave it there.
Thanks very much, Ken. I don't know how you can do all that in 5 minutes. Thanks. else would like to speak against? State your name, please.
My name is Sylvia Rodriguez, and I'm a commissioner on the Acequia de San Antonio in Valdez, which is the first village after the canyon opening up into the valley. It's above the community of Rio Hondo.
Thanks, Sylvia. You got 5 minutes.
Okay, my concern is water rights and the hydrology of spring development at high altitude and its potential impact on river flow. I want to know whether studies have been done to address that. I think much more transparency is needed as to how many water rights actually are here. Is this a project that, as well as the whole cumulative impact, that will require expanding water rights? Towski Valley, even though there's a B corporation up here, does not have a great track record in informing downstream traditional irrigators about what's going on up here, including rerouting the river a couple of years ago without telling the Acequias. And the developer didn't even know what one was. And it was only when people noticed turbidity in the river that they came up here and found out that the river had been rerouted. So public relations, transparency, and particularly with respect the kinds of hydrological studies that have been done, as well as the kinds of geohydrological questions that have definitely not been asked about impact of spring development on a high mountain aquifer. Much more is needed because there's a great deal of apprehension and fear downstream, I can assure you, among traditional farmer ranchers who've been here for over 200 to 300 years about what's going on up here, and we do not know. But there's no way that spring development up here will not have an impact on the quantity of flow in the river, particularly in the context of climate change. And of course, a longstanding issue, as those of you who've been here for a while know, river quality has also been an issue. And I know that there's other sources of pollution up here that are not subsumed under your development, but you better wake up as to what's going on downstream and what your responsibilities are in terms of the science and in terms of the ethics of addressing downstream concerns.
Thank you, Sylvia, very much. Anyone else against? You're next there.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
State your name, please.
Stephen Ortiz, and I'm a 12th generation. I'm in Towski Valley for over 45 years. And I know these gentlemen who are the actual developers for a long time. Hold fire on that until we have the continuation of what they talk about their character going forward later. But they've made promises here about how they're going to commit funds to do this and to do that. And they also made those promises to me, and they did not honor them. And so I think that you should really look into who are these people. They can hire all these people to say nice things about their project, but they're not nice people.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else that would like to speak against, ma'am? State your name, please.
My name is Christine Lowry. I am also a Parciente on the San Antonio de Valdez Acequia. But mostly, I would like to talk about, again, this whole development. And as I look around this room, I doubt that there's a single person in here, except maybe Sylvia, that was even born in Taos. Okay, and I bet you that there's probably less than half of the people in this room that even live in Taos. Okay, and what I heard from this development is we're going to bring you some jobs that are housekeeping, shoveling snow, driving shuttles, and cleaning. Okay, I didn't hear anything about creating anything for the youth, the people that are going to live here in the future. It seems like you guys think that this exists in a bubble up here, that you guys are on your own little planet, and whatever you do up here is not going to affect what happens downstream or out the end of this valley, okay? Again, this is not a separate state. You're not going to make this into the 1% gated community that you want, okay? People are used to coming up here and getting firewood and going hunting and picking mushrooms, and picking OSHA, and you probably don't even know what that is, you know? Again, people have lived here. There's a reason that the people on the Pueblo don't live up there. They live where people are supposed to live, okay? Out of the valley. This is where animals live and breed, where the future of the whole environment of this county is up here. And you guys are trying to squeeze them out and push them further and further. Oh, well, they'll go
They got room over there. Oh, the deer can go over there. The elk. Oh, cool. There's a bear. I'm going to feed it dog food. Now I'm going to call the fish again because, oh, it's coming in my front door because it wants dog food. I mean, hello, people. This is not a place for your 1% getting driven in here in a black SUV. Please give me a break. All right? That is not Taos. That is not why people come here, to be driven around and shuttled all over, and oh, look at the brown people out there. Oh, I feel bad for them. Take me to my condo, please. All right? That's what I get out of this meeting, is that you guys do not care about anyone that is not up there. That's what I get out of this meeting. You guys could not give a rat's ass about the town of Taos or Valdez or Hondo or El Prado or Espanola, for God's sake, or Cuesta or Rio Costilla or any of the other communities that live around here. They count on water and count on what happens at these high alpine environments. Okay, you're going to build your thing and then you're going to go back to Dubai or wherever. We live here. This is a big deal to us. And again, I only found out about this meeting not through any kind of public, not reading it in the paper, you know. You guys are trying to hide stuff going on up here. You're doing things like
this. Christine, 30 seconds to conclude your remarks, please.
I'm totally against this. And again, if you guys, I'm with Steve. You think these guys are great? Think on again. When your well runs dry and your house burns down, ask these guys.
Thank you, Christine. Time's up. Anyone else would like to speak again? State your name, please.
My name is still Phaedra Greenwood. I live next to the Rio Hondo, and our well system is dependent on the river. I'm deeply concerned about the impact that 250,000 gallons of waste it's going to have on the Rio Hondo. How can that little river possibly handle that? I don't believe it can. The last time I toured the plant, I was before the new improved addition to it, it was 125,000 gallons. You may remember a couple of years ago, we had a great winter. We had a great winter last year. I think you had about 200 inches of snow up here. But the year before that, we were in severe drought, which we still are. You guys had 78 inches of snow, and that plant was in trouble. There wasn't enough water. If something should happen up here, there wasn't enough water to put out a big fire. We are in severe drought, and we have been for 10 or 12 years, right here in Taos, New Mexico. It's not over. I mean, we had one good season. But the season before that was 78 inches. You've really got to think about what you're doing. I'm telling you, you really need to consider what's going on in the world before you take on this massive project. Please don't do it.
Thank you, Ms. Greenwood. Anyone else like to speak against? State your name, please.
Brandon Swim. As I said before, I represent Varian and Chalets, and maybe not as passionate as some people, but just in terms of owning my property up here for the past 5 years and seeing the investment that the Ski Valley's done and it's increased the number of visitors we've had and everything, and what I've seen is the infrastructure get more and more taxed, especially during busy times. And it's hard for me to understand without a broader master plan that says we're going to have water that's going to service this many people, and the road's going to be like this, and people are going to be able to get up it, or there's going to be a gondola or something to address these issues, or not even to mention that when it's busy, you can't even ski anymore in the ski valley sometimes because it's, you know, it's too busy, you can't get the lips open, whatever. So the idea of, you know, additional multi-family large development, I'm not necessarily opposed to it in principle, like maybe I should be, but I'm certainly opposed to it when the current infrastructure doesn't meet the current needs of the community. And until we can service the existing community, I don't know how we can decide to take on
such a great project. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon. Anyone else that would like to speak against?
I'd like to make a point that I think
you have already spoken, sir.
He ought to recuse himself because he was previously the landlord.
I'm not asking for comments. If you're out of line, I'll ask you to leave the room if you do that again.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else would like to speak against? State your name, please.
My name's Barry Johnson. I live up off of Twining Road. And I think a large concern of the people who do live up here, not to mention the downstream issues, which I think have been addressed pretty well, is the infrastructure and specifically the road. I think we need a lot more details on what's going to happen to the road, how it's going to handle the increased traffic, what's going to happen with stormwater. I think until we, the residents up here, understand that, it's going to be difficult for us to get behind the project. That's pretty much it.
Thanks very much.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Jeannie Jessamaria. I'm actually on the fence, so I'm not either for or against at this point, but I have a comment to this commission and to counselors who are here. Is it possible for any developers who are considering any development projects for this body or the council members to make it incumbent upon these people to provide emergency services in conjunction with the village so that we have the staff necessary if there are fires or any other emergencies on the mountain? This is a problem that's been going on in this village for a long time. We don't have the volunteers that we used to have. We don't have people up here to protect us. We have people who want to develop here. They have deep pockets. There's development going on now. Is it not possible for this to be a demand on part of either this body or the council members to make this part of development in the future?
Thanks, Janine. Anyone else speak against? That being the case, I'll close the public hearing. And I'll ask the commissioners to make comments on the presentations in the public hearing, if they wish. We have two public hearings, remember. This one's closed. We're not voting on anything. We already voted. The public hearings would continue on the 3rd of February. So I encourage you to be here for that. We're supposed to have a public hearing on a recommendation that this Planning and Zoning Commission would make to the council. It's a change in zoning, so it's a change to the ordinance, so therefore this body can only make a recommendation on that. So we're not going to do that. We're having a continuation, but we'll have a public hearing on the zoning change. So try to stay specific on, you like the land the way it is, or you know, it doesn't have enough open space or whatever. So I'll ask those that will speak in favor of the zoning change
talk. Brian Rupp. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You can clarify. Okay, we're on the zoning change. So, again, for all the reasons we stated before you here, zone change allows for a mix of the commercial and residential uses. So rather than just purely commercial or purely residential, we're going to allow for those mix of uses to allow for a master development to get a more quality development. And also for the zone change from agricultural recreational to open space. So to make sure that in perpetuity that open space is preserved, allow public trail access to the area, allow for recreational opportunities within that open space. We spent a lot of time looking at this, working with staff, working with the stakeholders. The project as a whole will provide a lot of public benefits. It will provide a lot of improvements, including the roadways, funding for emergency services, funding for infrastructure, water and sewer treatment. We've been participating with the Source Water Protection Plan Committee to make sure that our land uses and our proposal as a whole will be protective of the water supply, the watershed itself, protect the waters here in the valley and downstream. it's interesting to hear some of the discussion about water rights. The predecessor to all this, the Patterson Trust family, Patterson Trust, they conveyed the water rights to Twining, who conveyed it to the village. So this land had the water rights at one point in time, and we're the successor to that, and we respect that. But there's sufficient water here. The village has done their diligence. They've made sure that there's adequate water here. They've done engineering and planning, and they've implemented that with the new reservoir. We have adequate sewer. We're expanding the sewer treatment capacity and the roadway improvements. We're doing our part. We have no problem doing our fair share. And the village is doing their part. They're implementing the road study to do the engineering. They've secured funding to do that engineering work. So the zoning approvals as a whole, based on our comprehensive presentation here today, for all the reasons we explained, we hope that the commission finds that supportive, that that is better than piecemealing and taking just block four and doing that, and taking another block two and doing that separately, and that doing a master plan for a cohesive phased development approach to this property is the most appropriate way to move forward. There are issues. There are serious issues that the community's brought forward here today. And I think the biggest issue that I hear today that is perhaps the most challenging is the roadway and access. Again, we're doing our part. We're going to do our share. We're going to make that roadway better, and we'll be a partner with the village in that. We've put that in writing. That development agreement is binding on us, and it's binding on the village. And explains to, in that document, what our commitments are, and that will be finalized here. That will be part of the discussion February 3rd, and again, that will be a council matter ultimately. So, again, appreciate the consideration. We appreciate the input. We understand that development is not always welcomed. This is something that's planned. And if it's not us, it's going to be someone else. And we want to do a quality development here. We have excellent partners who have done this worldwide. And we look forward to working with everyone to get this accomplished. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron, very much. Anyone else that would like to speak for this zoning change?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, to provide clarity, as this is a public hearing, if I could read briefly part of the staff report into the record to help define exactly what it is we're considering at this juncture of the process this afternoon. And this is the resort at Telski Valley LLC, located in the Kachina subdivision, is seeking approval for the following changes in zoning. Number one, Lot 1, Block 2, change from the current zoning of commercial business zone to a residential commercial overlay zone. The proposed general land use shall be commercial use. Number 2, Lot 2, Block 2, change from the current zoning of commercial business zone to residential commercial overlay zone. Again, the proposed general land use shall be commercial use. 3, proposed new Block 4, change from the current zoning to recreational agriculture to a residential commercial overlay zone. Again, general land use shall be commercial. And finally, change from recreational agriculture to approved open space zone for approximately 53.3 acres of land in the proposed Block 4 to be surveyed and given a meets and bounds legal description before final plat approval.
Thanks, Patrick. That's it.
I have a little more from Mike.
Go ahead.
This request is in conjunction with their application for a preliminary plat of the resort at Telski Valley to subdivide approximately 74 acres of land located along Kachina Road within the Kachina Village subdivision for the purposes of developing two commercial hotels with up to 96 hotel rooms, recreational amenities, retail space, and 63 residential villas. And I might say, because of the complexity of this project, this is a significant zone change. request, which will substantially impact the Kachina area and all surrounding properties. The roadway access to the property, to the project property, will also experience a large increase in vehicle traffic, more than double the current traffic volume, as indicated in the developer's traffic impact analysis, which is Exhibit A in your packet. If the rezoning and proposed project is approved and fully built out, the applicant has provided a feasibility analysis of a potential and alternative bypass route to serve the area and the property development, which is Exhibit 3 in your packet. It should be noted that any rezoning is a discretionary action and not an entitlement or vested right by any property owner. By village ordinance, the commission shall make a recommendation to the village council and to amend the official zoning map. The village council is the formal decision-making body for this matter. My recommendation, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Sure.
The zone change request is directly tied to consideration of the related preliminary plat application for the subject property. It is recommended that the rezone only be approved if and when the preliminary plat is also granted approval. Any potential rezoning should clarify by text amendment that the conditional uses identified within the commercial business zone shall also apply to the requested commercial residential overlay zone. As with the preliminary plat request, many issues and items necessary to recommend approval and/or conditions of approval are embedded and included in the draft development agreement. This agreement is incomplete and in process. Staff recommends a motion, as we've taken, for continuance of the public hearing for the zone change of the property of the resort at Tusky Bell and Palace.
Thanks, Major. I apologize. I should let you go first before opening the public hearing, but we've already opened the public hearing, so I ask those that are going to speak in favor,
Mr. Chair,
of this block change.
Just a quick legal,
of this zoning change.
Just a quick legal comment to add what Patrick spoke about. I think we want to be aware that the concurrent approval of the plat, the site-specific development plan, the master plan for this property, and the zoning all go together. Once a property is zoned, that property owner has certain vested rights and uses in that zone, and we are upzoning the property. So I would recommend that this board would want to see the site-specific development plan of what's going to be there. Because if you don't approve that at the same time and you just approve the zoning, that zoning is locked in. So it's something for the board to consider. It's the board's decision, but legally speaking, I would recommend it all be done.
We have a lot of time to dwell on that. February 3rd. There's at least three Potter days between now and then. So, anyone else who would like to speak for, not the commission, speak for? John Haley.
Yes, I'd just like to voice my support for rezoning in general. I think that when you're trying to master plan a decent and appropriate project for an area sensitive as the Kachina Basin, the planners really need to have tools in their tool belt that allow them to cluster development, as we've heard today. Cluster development protects the overarching land in the sense of consolidating the development to provide more open space. And this rezoning is a typical tool to use to allow for that to take place. So I'm not weighing in exactly on the rezoning for the specific project as it is today, because that's a continuance. But in general, it is a form of policy that helps for good planning to manifest itself.
Thanks, John, very much. Anyone else for this rezoning?
Yeah, the aforementioned reasons I had for the project in general, I forward as the same recommendation for the rezoning. So they're tied together. One can't go without the other. Obviously, I'd be in favor of the zoning as I am in favor of the current project.
Thanks, Mark. Anyone else for this rezoning? That being the case, anyone against rezoning? Remember, stay focused. Stay focused on the rezoning. You've got 5 minutes.
I would say that all of the zoning should be reverted back to recreational agricultural and stay that way. Let Lewis Bacon buy it all and make it a conservation area. That seems like it would make everyone happy.
And your name is Christine Lowry.
That is it.
You get that, Anne-Marie?
Yes, sir. Back to agricultural, recreational. No more business commercial.
Anyone else would like to speak against? State your name, please.
Dee Johnson.
Thanks, Dee.
And it's not really, I'm against this whole thing kind of off the get-go, but I could be convinced to be for the whole thing. But will there be a truly open public meeting on this before February 3rd that the entire community is aware of that can come and participate?
You can't ask questions when you're making a presentation.
Okay, well, I would like... Okay, I would like to propose
that. Someone might answer your question afterwards, but...
Okay, well, I would like to propose that, or at least make that February 3rd meeting absolutely publicly.
That's a statement. You can make that.
Okay.
Thanks, Dee.
Okay.
Right. Anyone else against the zoning? Zoning.
Again, Brandon Swim, Marion Chalets. I would encourage the commission and the council to look at it as a whole. How many, you know, there's homes that are being built. How many, if you make this change, I don't know what the existing, how much new can be built up there now under existing zoning, but say that's X, what infrastructure improvements need to happen so that if that's all built out, we're going to have adequate services to the people using the area and the residents and visitors. And then is this going to overtax the area? Because that's the end of the day, I don't see the needs being met today, so it's hard for me to understand how we can take on an additional 150 units. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Anyone else against the rezoning? That being the case, I'll close the public hearing. And anyone on the commission that wants to comment on the for and against comments? Go ahead.
I just think it's unfair to shop up to stonewall this thing for two more months. I think it's unfair to that. There's nothing wrong with the rezoning. It was approved months and years ago. That's my comment.
Thanks, Doug. Your comment means a lot. Anyone else on the commission?
I think Eric is taking the correct course here. We have made mistakes in the past, not necessarily the planning zone, but the ability to make mistakes, which has caused a lot of confusion, a lot of unrealistic expectations on both sides. And I think that by having our T's crossed and our I's dotted for the February 3rd meeting, it is proof of the meeting.
Thanks, Emma. Anyone else on the commission comments? Patrick, are you happy with that on the public hearing for the rezoning?
I am, sir.
Okay, thank you. Next item is old business. We have none and miscellaneous. I'll entertain anything from the commissioner. Patrick?
I'm first in here.
No, you have something on the miscellaneous. I know you do.
I do. I just wanted noted that I'm prepared to grant an administrative variance for a staircase variance. I should say a staircase encroachment at 32 Twining. The staircase will not be placed within the public right-of-way along Twining Road. I am, however, awaiting a final site plan and design documents before issuing the administrative variance.
32 Twining Road?
Yeah, I know where Twining Road is.
Come on. I believe 32 Twining is...
Sam Rhodes?
No.
It's across the street.
I believe Sam
Rhodes.
It's a TSVI property.
Santana.
3220. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
It's administrative. He's not asking our opinion. He's just telling us he's doing it.
Unless you have any.
No. Anything else under miscellaneous from any of the commissioners? Date, time, and place of the next meeting, Patrick. Or Anne Maria.
Commission Chair, Commissioners, the next plan meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission is Monday, November 18th. In 2 weeks at 1 p.m. here, and that was announced at the last meeting. It was specifically to address the Firewise ordinance.
And I know the rest of the audience needs to hear that. We're not going to discuss this at all at that meeting. It's a firewise ordinance that we've been working on for a long time.
Our next meeting is February 3rd, right? For this.
For this. This subject. You're correct.
Yeah.
Okay. But the next regularly scheduled meeting should be in December. And Patrick, do you feel like we're going to need that or not?
I do not, Mr. Chairman. I would propose, I think it's January 6th, would be the next regularly scheduled, given the special meeting in 2 weeks.
So we're getting a Christmas break?
Wow.
No meeting in December for the Planning and Zoning Commission, as of now.
Except the special
I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I think it was Henry and Chris.
Oh, well.
Amber's will be here.
You too.
Thanks for coming today.
Thank you guys for having it. I'm the very first one.
It's great.
Monday. I'm like, wait, did I miss this already?
Wow.
Yeah, next week we see you Monday.
Just not going to understand me.
Shocked at home, and I know you were having trouble, and you finally get to get it out the door.
I got the first iteration back in the way of an
Oh, yeah.